Okay, Davis, tell us the version we all know about Roswell, and then tell us your take on it.
Okay, sure. I mean, we all know that on roughly between July 7th, 1947, there were two cases, one at Roswell and one at the plain of St. Augustine's, just north of there, northwest of there. Two UFOs crashed, possibly more, and that we were told, of course, it was a weather balloon. And, you know, it's funny because in New Mexico is an amazing state to me, and there's a lot of amazing history there. First, we have the, you know, atomic bomb. The first test was on July. You get different dates on the test for Trinity. Was July 5th or the 7th,
mm-hmm.
you know, roughly the same dates as Roswell, 1945. And then, of course, you had in 1947,
you mean?
No, that's Roswell. But in the 1960s, Captain Joe Kittinger set the world record skydive from 103,000 feet from a weather balloon. And when he jumped in free fall, he actually created a sonic boom. He did over 700 miles an hour in free fall. And so, you know, and I've seen a lot of that footage. I'm a skydiver. I know what weather balloons look like, and I know, you know, a lot about, I know what it's like to be out there a lot. I've got over 200 skydives. And, you know, when they try to tell you that when you understand how a weather balloon moves, you know, how slowly it inflates and how slowly it reaches the altitude, you know, that it needs to, you know, to be in these positions, and you think that Roswell is just suddenly, you know, a balloon mm-hmm. that went awry, it looks so ridiculous. It's one of those things where the public loses faith and credibility with the military and with the government because they really think we're stupid.
Especially with the changed story.
Especially with the changed story.
That tells you everything.
You first announced that, you know, they retrieved a saucer, there was a crash, and then all of a sudden it's a weather balloon and there were crash test dummies. Do you think we really, expert witnesses, don't know the difference between a crash test dummy and some fleshy, you know, living creature? I mean, they really take us for idiots, and they got to stop doing that. And this stuff about the planet Venus, I mean, Venus is the most amazing planet in the solar system. It's everywhere. It's hovering over people's houses. It's up in the sky. I mean, they got to stop this. And so that's Roswell. Now, I think there's a connection in my theory, and as I evolved my theoretical work in how UFOs fly and the wave transformation of mass, how they have wave generators in the center of them and they're able to transform their mass, I looked at Roswell and I looked at the Trinity, the first nuclear test we ever did, and I said, you know, these dates are really, they're the same dates, but it's 2 years later. And the other peculiar thing I realized, well, both crashes are on either side of Trinity. One is at Roswell, which is just, like, I think, southeast of Trinity site. And the other one is Plains of St. Augustine's, which is northwest of the site. Now, that's a little bit odd. So I thought, what if? I mean, I know about time dilation in Einstein physics. I mean, the faster you accelerate in an Einstein equation, time value starts to slow down, or perception of time slows down. But another thing happens with time is when frequency of the wave formation of the brain accelerates in higher frequency states, time slows down. For example, when you go to sleep at night, your brain slows down, and when you're really in deep theta sleep or delta, your brain waves are very long and slow frequency, and huge quanta of time go by like that. You know, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours, 6 hour chunks are gone in what appear to be seconds in your mind if you're in a deep state. But when your brain's very active doing sports, it peaks at around 100 waves per second or 100 hertz a second. Anyone who has hit a tennis ball, you know, at 100 miles an hour, like John McEnroe, can tell you that the moment he's contacting that ball, it's like slow motion. I mean, I know what it's like to skydive and to do extreme skiing and jump into avalanche chutes, and I know, you know, that feeling where a whole second becomes an eternity. But this is simple Einstein physics. So if the craft itself, this is my hypothesis, were vibrating in the ultraviolet spectrum or higher, and literally they were probably very curious about what we were doing at Trinity that day. We had never achieved anything like this before. There were no previous tests of the nuclear bomb. And they're hovering around in this interdimensional place, vibrating perhaps even as high as the gamma spectrum or ultraviolet or X-ray. And that's the frequency vibration of their craft. We can't see them, but they can see us and they can see Trinity. Now, when the bomb goes off, there is an intense 200 million electron volt burst of gamma radiation, 200 MeV total. There's about, I think, about 5 MeV gammas. But that's it's kind of like a surfer in the ocean. When a wavelength that is equal to your wavelength passes through you, it hits you physically and shoves you over. But if a wavelength passes through my body like an X-ray, and my body's vibrating in a very low frequency form, the X-ray will pass through me, and it won't be able to push me. So I think what happened, that intense burst of gammas knocked two interdimensional UFOs on either side of Trinity, and we didn't see the effects for 2 years later on the same days.
That's interesting.
Due to time dilation.
So that's what you meant by 45.
Yeah,
okay,
because
1945
was Trinity.
All right.
And that's when we tested the first nuclear bomb. And then Roswell, there's two crashes on either side of Trinity that roughly the same dates, you know, July 7th through the 9th or the 12th, 1947. So I think there's a connection there.
Sounds like the Philadelphia experiment, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you start getting in these other dimensions, time, and I'm finding out more and more as I apply my singularity theory, for example, to the Big Bang, I'm really seeing the birth of time, how at singularity, absolute singularity, there is no time and there is no space distance because there's no resistance, there's no inertia to slow things down. But at the just prior to the Big Bang, in this infinitum of energy in the singularity, an absolute zero time value, zero space value, as soon as you give birth to duality, the first duality, you have resistance. Positive and negative are born. You have friction, which produces heat, which produces resistance, and the universe starts to, it appears to be expanding at an incredible rate at the moment of the Big Bang because time is being born, and inertia, resistance, is causing in absolute instantaneity and infinity to slow down. So time is born, and when you can see time being born and how time actually works, you can understand a concept like this, that these craft that are jumping from dimension to dimension don't experience time the way we do. So why did the crash happen 2 years later on either side? That is because once their waves slowed down, because we distorted their wave generator with that enormous burst, they eventually enter our time value domain, and then they become very physical, and then, of course, they go flying off, and they're very badly damaged. You know, I was always curious about the dates. Is that a coincidence that on either side of Trinity we got two UFO crashes?
There are no coincidences.
And then there was the one up at Corona, New Mexico, and
right.
Of course, you know, Los Alamos National Lab is probably the place that they would have taken the crash retrieval, just like in the case of the Battle 42, they probably would have taken it to Edwards Air Force Base, what we now call Edwards Air Force Base. And back then, I think, you know, that's where they built the bomb. I think if they retrieved the saucers, it would have gone to Los Alamos.